The Pentagon has unwrapped details of a sweeping cost-cutting program that puts both contractors and its own acquisition workforce under pressure. More fixed-price contracts, cancellation of programs that get out of control. Those are just some of the 23 new strategies. Well, what does the industry think of all this? We're going to get reaction in our DoD report, which is brought to you 40 minutes past the hour here on Federal News Radio by Dell. That reaction coming from the Professional Services Council. Joining us is the group's president, Stan Soloway. Good morning, Stan.
Hey guys, how are you?
All right. So, in a nutshell, what is industry's reaction to this?
Well, I think the reaction is muted in the sense that the initiative and the objectives that the secretary and the undersecretary set out obviously make a lot of sense. I think we all recognize the need to do what they want to do, but there's still a ton of details that have to be worked out. Yesterday, Dr. Carter sort of outlined kind of an implementation plan and acknowledged, particularly when they're dealing in the world that we're in here at PSC, with the world of services, there's still a lot of work to be done to figure out exactly what the roadmap looks like in terms of execution of the objective. So I think from a broad perspective, we're very supportive of what they're trying to do. Now the question is, how do you best collaborate and figure out the best way to accomplish it?
And I just want to ask you, Stan, in your experience at the Pentagon as the acquisition executive and watching it all these years since, is this more sweeping and more profound than what we've seen in the past?
I don't think it's more sweeping or more profound. I think some of the issues that they're trying to address are issues that have been around for a long time. There's some new ideas in there and so forth. And I wouldn't say it's more sweeping. It's actually fairly focused. If you look at the roadmap Dr. Carter put out and the secretary put out the other day, there's a set of initiatives around major weapon systems programs, which I think we've been talking about for a long time, and the department has been sort of struggling over for many, many, many years trying to figure out how best to achieve a degree of cost control and program schedule and so forth. What I think was important and interesting just in general tone about the memo, the press conference, the meeting we had with him yesterday, was a recognition that this is a shared responsibility and a shared problem. You know, a lot of the rhetoric the last couple of years has been around, oh, the private sector's done this, the private sector hasn't done that. And I think what Dr. Carter and the secretary clearly recognized is that there's a lot of stuff we're both doing that may be driving costs up higher than they need to be. It's not about nefarious behavior. It's just about the way the process and the system is structured. So they talk a lot about it, the right kind of incentives in trying to build different kinds of contract relationships, which is something a lot of us have been talking about for 15 years. And I think it's a very appropriate focus. The other thing I'd say, there are some areas where there are going to be some interesting challenges ahead in terms of implementation, whether it's around things like driving more competition. On the weapon system side, you have a certain marketplace where there's a limited number of large integrators that are left that can actually do the major weapon systems programs, which creates one kind of competitive or less competitive environment, depending on how you look at it. When you look at services, which is well over half of what the department buys, it's an entirely different kind of marketplace where the competition is fierce. And so the kinds of strategies you use to drive greater competition in either is going to be different. And there's no one-size-fits-all here.
Now, I wanted to ask about the strategies because from what you just said, it does sound like you all have the same end goal in mind. You're not at cross purposes. This is good news. It's just a matter of how to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, I think that's true. And of course, we look at it primarily on the services side, which, as I said, is more than half of what DOD buys. And when we talk about services, let me just use one example where I think there's going to be some interesting discussion, not necessarily argument, but good discussion. Dr. Carter and the secretary talked about something like 25 or 30% of the competitive awards for services only had one bidder, and they want to see that change. On one hand, that would be great if there are reasons that RFPs and performance work statements and so forth are being structured in such a way that they're not inviting adequate competition. We need to address that because that's good for everybody. The incumbent or the one winner may not think it's great, but everybody else is looking for opportunities. On the other hand, particularly in the services environment, there's something it's not a formal term, but we refer to it as implied competition. So if I have an incumbent doing work, I know that my competitors are breathing down my neck every day looking for when that work comes up for recompetition. But if I'm doing good work and I have good pricing and my customers are happy, my competitors are not going to spend their bid and proposal dollars to compete for work they're not likely to win. So it's not necessarily a zero-sum game that the fact that there's some percentage of competitive awards only get one bidder may still have competition in the system and they just not be evidenced in the actual submittal of bids. The second area that I think that there's going to be a lot of discussion about is how we get back to this concept of best value. It's a word we've been using for many years, this whole idea that low cost is not the best way or the smartest way to buy almost anything other than the most basic commodity. Yet we are in an environment now where low cost really is dominating the marketplace, even when the department says it's a best value procurement. Well, that is an issue that I think everybody needs to focus on, but it also butts right up against the goal the department has and that we in industry have of finding ways to bring more innovation into the system, because innovation is often a value component. And so we've got to figure out how we marry up these different kinds of objectives, because they all make sense, but you can't just do one and ignore the other.
We're speaking with Stan Soloway, the president and CEO of the Professional Services Council. And what about the emphasis on fixed price contracts, especially for service contractors where it may be a little more difficult to figure out fixed prices? What do they have to do differently if confronted with a fixed price contract for something that is maybe not as well defined as it should be?
I'm not sure that in Dr. Carter's guidance that we are yet seeing any dramatic change to that. There's a lot of focus on it, and it has been for several years now, trying to move to a fixed price environment wherever possible. But if you read the memo and read between the lines, there's a recognition that in some cases it just doesn't work. And then there's a recognition that the department, a lot of this is on the department to figure out how better to manage certain programs. So we've been seeing a lot of pressure for fixed price for several years. We've clearly, Tom, as you alluded to, seen a number of cases where fixed price is being used where it probably doesn't make sense, where it can actually increase the government's risks and the government's costs. But the guidance itself reads in a fairly balanced way. It's not terribly different than what we have in the acquisition regulations today. So the way that actually plays out in future policy changes remains to be seen. But at this point, the pressure for fixed price has been there. There is some concern that because of that pressure, we are already seeing and have been for several years seeing fixed price contracts used where they probably don't belong. A lot of this came up with regard to Iraq and Afghanistan contracting. But I think that's an area that again, the guidance does not prescribe an answer. It opens the question and a dialogue now can ensue.
I want to get some bottom line thoughts from you about what you see this, how you see this working, where you see it going from here, if you're cautiously optimistic that this is going to make the change that is necessary to be made. Tell me where your head is when it comes to this and what sort of timeline we're looking at.
I think right now is based on the meeting we had yesterday and the announcement and the press conference on Tuesday, and of course there's been engagement on this for a couple of months since they started this process back in June. There's been opportunities for all stakeholders and not just industry to sort of submit ideas, have some conversations. There haven't been a lot of direct communications because they were in the process of developing this guidance. But we've had opportunities to put some ideas in, and those opportunities continue because there's so many details now to still work out. So based on the tone, the tenor, and the commitment Dr. Carter and some of his senior aides made yesterday, I think that the opportunity for a really robust dialogue is there, and that's going to be the key. I think that one of the things that has concerned me when you say, where's your head at? I mean, around this whole thing, leaving the specific policy issues aside, there has been a lot of pressure in the system over the last couple of years that has resulted in diminished communications, particularly with industry, but with stakeholders generally. And I think it needs to be clear within the department and across the system that the best way and the most effective way to achieve this is in a collaborative manner, that you don't want to just get into a prescriptive sort of dictatorial process and say, well, we're just going to cut costs on this without looking at all the unintended consequences or other alternatives. So Dr. Carter committed to a very collaborative process. They have been seeking input over the last couple of months. And so if we can have that kind of dialogue as we go forward, I think there are some opportunities for improvement here.